I didn't hear when they did it live or they did it originally, the broadcasting from the Breezy. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
We should do an episode of the podcast from, well, we'd have to do it one at a time. Three Breezies in formation.
How about a Breezy race?
Yeah.
Called live from the back seat of the Breezy.
It could
take over what the Reno racers do here.
The Breezy is a favorite airplane of mine here every year. It is a largely metal tube frame fuselage with... the wings are from something, like a Cherokee or something like that, I think I read.
They're a basic design, yeah.
I think they're off an old rag wing.
Yeah.
Piper.
Yeah.
And then the pilot and the passenger sit way up at the front of this thing, four of the wing.
With a pusher engine, pusher prop.
They give rides throughout the week here, primarily to kids, I understand, but they do give a lot of rides throughout the week. And apparently they did a quick EAA radio broadcast from it. That sounds pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, one year was really fun. Watching the pink shirts from the FAA Air Traffic Service lined up to go for Breezy rides.
Yeah.
You know, it is a man, you know, you realize if they're going back on station, that they got to get somewhere to get the bugs out of their teeth because
the way their tongue gets caught on their teeth, they couldn't see what they're saying.
Speaking of flying out in the open air, the butt of a lot of jokes here this week has been the jetpack. And
the Martin jetpack.
I think though it's starting to slowly redeem itself in a little way as the week has progressed. I think we're starting to understand a little better now you may have a different opinion, but this is my opinion, that we're starting to understand a little better what it is they're going for and what they're trying to do, and they certainly,
the Hooters hovermobile,
they set the expectations wrong, and people didn't understand what they were going to see. But when you actually kind of put the foo-fara aside, it's kind of an interesting bit of technology, and I think it has some potential.
It's very tech, very interesting. They use a V4 two-stroke engine mounted with the crankshaft vertical, like on a helicopter. Drives two ducted fans.
Yep.
Then has some aerodynamic controls. The two sticks that the guy holds onto, left and right, they operate independently. Burns gas.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like a big Mercury or Evinrude when you fire it up.
Right. And I actually, by sheer chance, I had a chance to see it fly, though maybe the only other time it flew here this week, which was they wanted to find a quiet place because they just got caught up in this huge crowd when they did their sort of quote-unquote public flight.
The hiccup there was I don't think there was any realization of just how interested people were in that.
Right.
They started showing up so early and getting so close that they tried really hard. They tried a couple of times to get the crowd to move back about 20 feet.
What is it about a jetpack? Sure, you've got the individuality of you know, strapping on something and getting off the ground.
Jennifer Connelly is what it's all about.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, she was the girlfriend in the movie The Rocketeer. Now, you know, if you can fly a jetpack like the hero in The Rocketeer,
then you get the girl.
You save her from the bad Nazis. That Jennifer Connelly is the appeal of the jetpack.
Well, maybe that's the right answer, but I don't think everybody who turned out at Aeroshell Square to see that fly had Jennifer Connelly on their mind. Yes, it's interesting. It's new and different. What was it that made that turnout so high? Was it just the heightened expectations?
I think it's fascinated people going back decades.
Yeah.
And when they finally got one, let's use it in a loose interpretation, when they finally got one perfected well enough to use it as stunt item in movies for about 90-second flights, you know, the Nazis supposedly were working on this during World War II. Mm-hmm. Didn't come to fruition. It's been like ornithopters, you know, flapping wing machines.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's been one of those unrealized dreams, and it just keeps coming back. And admittedly, this is probably the most original and potentially practical of the solutions we've seen yet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So a couple of days after the big crowd scene on Aeroshell Square, I was down at the ultralight area at the close of the day when they were getting ready to fly down there again. And I was just wandering around watching the ultralights prepare and taxi around and just kind of enjoying the afternoon. And Frank Beagle, who's the announcer down there, kept saying, they're not here to fly. Don't worry. They're just tweaking. And I couldn't figure out what he was referring to. And after a few moments, I looked out and realized that out on the grass runway down at the farm, on the far side, was the jetpack with three or four of its technicians and its pilot, I guess you'd call him.
And it was supposed to be down there again the next evening.
Yeah. And he kept saying it wasn't going to fly. It's not going to fly. And then they started the engine. Everybody got excited. And Frank's going, it's not going to fly. It's not going to fly. And then I think they must have done sort of a Howard Hughes kind of thing, you know, where they ran up the engines.
Oh, like the Spruce Goose.
Yeah,
right?
They ran up the engines, and it actually lifted off and kind of floated about 10 feet to one side.
Well, it looks interesting. It's a great implementation of a concept. I didn't get up close and personal with it, but Randy Dufault, who sometimes is on UCAP, says he did, and it was well engineered. It's the machine is assembled nicely. It looks like good machine shop work, for example. It's got a little LCD panel and
things
like that. Yeah,
the workmanship is top notch.
Yeah, the workmanship on it looks really good. So, you know, maybe this is something that, you know, we're starting to see a whole new category here.
Unfortunately, there was a renewal of some expectations when they said that they were going to try to fly it at the end of the air show out on the flight line for the flight line crowd.
Uh-huh. Today?
But now, we had this in the paper a few days ago.
Okay.
To my knowledge, it never came to fruition.
Right.
Of course, I miss more than I see during the air show. But it did fly again, apparently, down on the farm the next night.
Right.
The night that we were doing Potapalooza.
Uh-huh.
And did not get out in front of a big public crowd again. So, as they say in baseball, there's always next year.
There's always next year.
That's right. I am looking forward to see where they go with this thing because it has some interesting potential, and
Sure would make it. It would certainly fulfill my wife's statement that I would fly to the grocery store.
And there are a lot of applications for that kind of technology that I can envision, and we'll see what happens.
I want to hear that.
Cool. What, the applications?
Some of the applications that you're thinking of, yeah.
Well, let's say a farmer or a rancher wants to go inspect his crops or wants to look over his fields.
Kind of a helicopter substitute.
It's a utilitarian kind
sure.
of thing. Whether, it could be used for law enforcement, it could be used in all kinds of ways that,
this is where we need the Wagner music to come up.
Dum, 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 dum. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So
personal transportation, obviously.
The one thing that we are completely certain of here is that the remaining ultralight manufacturers on the field have little to fear in way of price competition because the tag that was on the machine in front of the display a couple of days ago said $100,000, and they actually had a sold sign on one of them.
And I take both those things with a grain of salt. But
right.
You know,
I think grain of salt might put you over the 254-pound ultralight weight limit.
So you mentioned Potapalooza. We had a lot of fun visiting with our fellow aviation podcasters
the other
night. And we gathered over in one of the forum buildings with about eight or ten of us. A big gang from Uncontrolled Airspace. And let's see if I can get all the names here. Steve Tupper was there and Steve Tupper of Airspeed. Excuse me, Stephen Force of Airspeed. And I keep forgetting his secret identity. You know. And Jason Miller of the Finer Points was there, and a new podcaster who I've just met, I believe his name is Bill Williams, who does a student pilot podcast, although he's run into the exact same problem that our friend Will did, which is that
he's no longer
a student pilot. He just got his private, so congratulations on that. But now what are you going to do? You've got a podcast called the Student Pilot Podcast, so I'm sure he's going to continue with some good stuff. Will Hawkins is not in town, but he actually participated by telephone, the wonders of modern technology.
He was the mystery guest.
That's right. Pilot Kent and Pilot Mike from the Pilot Cast were there. And I'm blanking on his name. Tony from the CFI Cast. I apologize for not remembering your last name. But it was a great crowd. And then
Tony, for what it's worth, at this point of the week, Jack doesn't always remember his own last
name.
Right. So.
And perhaps even more interesting than meeting our fellow podcasters again was visiting with listeners who came by. It's just always a thrill.
Those of you that came out to hear us, and I'm speaking to fans of all of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And not just those who came out to hear us, but those who went out of their way, went out of their day to stop us on the site.
And say hi.
And say hello and share their names and where they're from and some of their experiences with uncontrolled airspace. That's just very special to us.
A real thrill.
All
no
three
question.
Of us.
No question.
And we met a lot of y'all here
yeah.
this year.
Yeah.
It was really stunning at times.
Yeah.
Humbling. Humbling.
You know, humbling, flattering.
I got my rubber chicken mask on, and they still recognize me.
We'll be back with a little bit more, and you're listening to a special episode of Uncontrolled Airspace on EAA Radio.
Live from Oshkosh.